Under the 1979 Moon Treaty, known as the Common Heritage of Mankind, exclusive property rights to any state or individual company are not allowed. Rather, there's meant to be the equitable international sharing of space resources. So legally, how can Trump's order be implemented without breaking this treaty?
Yeah, look, good question, Sean. Look, this idea of common heritage of mankind is a legal principle that's built into the 1979 Moon Treaty. It was also in the Law of the Sea Treaty in 1982, which just about every country in the world except the US is party to. And in the Law of the Sea Treaty, it relates to deep seabed areas, the mining in deep seabed areas. And the basic idea is that rather than one country being able to go and mine, say, in the deep seabed of the oceans or on the moon, rather than one country going and doing it and getting all the benefits, that these areas, the benefits of mining in these areas should be kind of shared more equally amongst all countries. So this is where the idea came from, is that it comes out of the kind of 1970s, 1980s. The trouble is, of course, that with the Moon Treaty, as with the Law of the Sea Treaty from 1982, the United States is not a signatory or is not a party to either of those treaties. So under international law, countries are only effectively bound by the treaties that they're party to, that they've signed.
By pursuing their own legal framework on this one to sort of use and exploit these resources, could the Trump administration's activities on the moon influence other countries and their desire to privatize space resources? I mean, very possibly bringing us into conflict over these resources.
Yeah, look, it could, because what the Americans are doing with this executive order, or the Trump administration in particular is doing with this executive order, is giving an encouragement to domestic type of regulation, so US domestic law as being the primary sort of vehicle for regulating this sort of activity. And if the Americans, being a very powerful, influential country in the international system, is seen to be taking that view, then other countries might be, encouraged to take a similar view, say, for instance, China or other countries that have got the technical capacity for moon landings, out of space exploration, they might be encouraged to take a similar view.
How might this affect Australia, given our past commitment to international space treaties and current support of the US's Artemis lunar program?
Yeah, look, it creates a kind of interesting, in some ways, awkward sort of position for Australia, because we are one of the 18 countries that are in the Moon Treaty. So we are sort of bound to this, principle of common heritage of mankind. As I said, the Americans are not in it. But, of course, the Morrison government has, sought to get behind the latest kind of moves in terms of the American space program, with links being developed with NASA and $150 million sort of being earmarked for funding Australian participation in the US space program. So when, that money's being spent by the Australian government, which is kind of, I think, earmarked more for sort of encouraging private sector sort of involvement by Australian companies in these sort of NASA initiatives. But when we're spending that money, on Australian companies to participate, we're sort of bound by this common heritage of mankind principle. But of course, the Americans and NASA and others are not. So it could create quite an awkward situation, in the sense that we might need to decide fairly soon as to whether we want to continue supporting the idea of outer space as a kind of global commons area, which is open to resource extraction, but on the basis that it's shared by all, as opposed to resource extraction, which is going to be captured largely by one country.
And do we have a real indication in terms of these resources just how valuable these kinds of deals could end up being?
Yeah, look, it's pretty hard to put any numbers on it, without, getting up there and doing the drilling and doing the the exploration work. But look, the rare earth minerals are certainly something which is, a big deal back here on Earth. The rare earth minerals markets, have been sort of certainly the supply of them has been sort of cornered by, you know, one or two countries. And so I think the Americans in particular are looking to sort of diversify their supply chains for those sort of minerals. The other one's an isotope called helium-3, which has got potential for use in energy generation in fusion reactors. So, you know, there are some things up there that are, you know, very, very valuable in dollar terms, but it just all comes down to the economics as to how rare they are on Earth, and hence whether they're economically viable in terms of mining there.
And just to perhaps look at any kind of positives to come out of this situation, I mean, are there any advantages to privatising at least some of these areas, given we've sort of seen, especially in the States and the like, a little bit of pushback against pure science, pure exploration when it comes to the space frontier? Private companies, if they're looking to make some bucks off it, they're more likely to push for the kind of technologies we might need to explore. So are there some positives that might come out of this?
Yeah, I think we're talking about privatisation of moon resources or outer space resources. What we're really talking about there is sort of a national or a national capture by a particular country, okay? And that's one issue. And you know, people can have their views about whether, you know, that's a good thing or whether it should be shared more equally under this common heritage principle. But I guess in terms of that question about your question is more directed towards whether, you know, private money in terms of corporate money, corporate interests should have a role in space exploration, space mining activity. I think that's a separate question, and I think you're right in saying that, yeah, you know, look, there is some benefit from that. Of course, I mean, the public sort of purse, you know, is not infinite. You know, it's big money to sort of do this stuff, and so, you know, if the state, if governments can sort of, you know, leverage off private sector interest, private sector investment, you know, within limits and then, you know, within careful restrictions, then that certainly can be looked at as being a positive.
Well, Jeffrey, I do appreciate your time unpacking this one for us a little bit this morning.
Okay. Have a good day up there, Sean. And greetings from, bye-bye from Tasmania.